Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Welcome, Danny. And Danny is the founding boss man at SmartView, which is an app that we're going to be hearing all about. And Danny, did you notice how in the very flimsy introduction, I actually didn't even say your surname at all?
That's absolutely fine.
Did you take the same view though? Yeah. How about you introduce yourself and you can get it correct. And I guess for those listening, just before I hit record, I was practicing saying Danny's surname and even confessed having gone to YouTube to get some instruction, but to still get it wrong. So Danny, introduce yourself.
No problems. Well, thank you for having me, Kathy. I am Danny Huey and my company is called SameView. We started SameView in November of 2016. And what we're doing is we're building a platform that will give families a tool to coordinate their care, basically by giving them something that will help them, you know, remember the most stressful parts of going from appointment to appointment and then having to share that information with all the people on their team so that their team can actually work effectively together and help them achieve whatever goal they have in their own family life.
And I happen to know that this mission is very personally driven. We'll get to that in a tick. But I guess it raises it links with the question of your engineering background and your work with workplace health and safety and emergency management, as I read. So what's sitting in your background that has kind of really informed the app and the way it looks now?
A lot of it is actually from the emergency management or disaster management side of things. I know a lot of families would be familiar with having, you know, meetings with their support team members called IFSPs. And in reality, during any sort of emergency, they are managed exactly the same way. What you do is you get a team of people of multi different disciplines all sitting in the room together. You've got some goals you want to achieve generally for the community. The job is to get all of those people responsible for all their different parts to work together to achieve a common goal. So that's really where the idea or some of the principles for how we want things to work generated from.
Got it. I didn't know that until I was doing some research about you and your background this morning. So that all makes even more sense. But as I alluded to, personally, you've had some lived experience of trying to wrangle a team around your beautiful little boy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, sure. So I had three children. They're 9, 7, and 5. And the youngest, Monty, I guess our sort of path to discovery about his disability started from the day he was born, when he didn't pass his newborn hearing test. And from there, we went from, you know, test to test, different specialists, first looking at the reasons why he may not be hearing in 1 year. And eventually we got to an MRI, and from that scan, we could see that there was some damage to his brain that I guess he received before he was born. So the diagnosis is that he has pontocerebellar hyperplasia, which it's generally it affects all of his muscles and he's sloppy, I guess. And he also has hydrocephalus. And yeah, like I said, he has unilateral hearing loss. So, but with all of that, we have a very big team. I'd say we're about 20 odd different people in our team, medical people. And you know what? It just adds up. You know, like medical people, your different therapists, your family members, your nanny, your educators at school. We found that very difficult to begin with. I guess in the same conversation, I did talk about how my job was in emergency management, and you'd think I'd already have some of these skills, but in reality, we really struggled in the early days knowing what we were doing and why we were going from one appointment to another. We just knew we had to keep going to them. We didn't know what would happen if we stopped going to appointments, but we knew we had to keep going, and here's our calendar. And it wasn't until, I think, when Monty was about 2, you know, we made a couple of little decisions. You know, we decided that a certain therapist wasn't quite right for us because we wanted to do something else. And that really got us on a journey of being more confident, being able to decide what goals we wanted for our family. And there were things like, you know, we wanted to go on a holiday. We wanted, you know, Monty to go to daycare. Just normal everyday things. Yeah, and that's sort of, and with that confidence, we could see that, you know, it's all about being able to set your own goals, being able to find the people that we need for that particular goal, no matter where they are, and not being afraid to say that's what we want and find the right people to do that.
And that confidence and calmness to release people that are right for your team right now.
That's right. I mean, a lot of people are right, and they're right for a period of time. You don't have to have them forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So did SameView sort of start on the dining room table, or did it start on a whiteboard, or how did it kind of kick off?
Well, we had the idea and you know, sort of just in discussions between my wife and I, and the discussion would be something like, wouldn't it be nice if we had, you know, this, that did this for us? And yeah, and that process went for a year or two in reality. We didn't really do much about it. We were just sort of living our everyday lives. We had a bit of a tougher year last year, a little bit more hospitalization. Monty shunt failed and we had to have a few shunt revisions. So we spent quite a lot of time in hospital. And it was sort of during that time that we thought, you know what, we've had this idea. Let's see if it's something on us. Let's have a real go. So yeah, so from that point, from November, I started to do it full time.
Wow. The progress you guys have made since November is remarkable. So when we caught up last week, you were ringing me up to date about the Optus Future Makers program that you'd been in. So what has that done to kind of kickstart and launch the app almost?
Yeah, it's been an amazing experience. It's probably the first, I guess, official, any sort of recognition we've had that we were on the path to something. So yeah, Optus generously had this accelerator program for social enterprises, and we were lucky enough to be a finalist in this program, and it's still going. So the program itself, you know, they've really sort of built, I guess, a business building type accelerator program around us so that we can get to a stage where we can prototype what we're trying to build, test out with families, get feedback, and then the ultimate aim is to come out of it and know, you know, are we on the right path? Do we need to change things? And along with that, there's been some funding, which has been super helpful as well.
Oh, it just sounds amazing. I was so excited to hear all of that. So what does SameView look like? If I was holding it in my hand and clicking through, what would I see, I guess, from a parent's point of view initially?
I'm hoping you don't see too much. And that's, I know that sounds a bit silly, but it's meant to be simple. So what you will see in the app, your appointments that are coming up, you'll see the notes that you have against each of those appointments. So think about the things, you know, the list of things you always take in there, your scrap piece of paper with, here are the five things I need to talk about today. I always forget at least one. You'll see that in the app. And what you'll also see and be able to use the app for is to record the outcomes of your meetings and appointments. Mm. So I'm thinking about things like exercises. It might be a video of the exercise or photos, audio recordings, any sort of media format you like.
Can upload into the app as a record.
Yep, it'll go straight into the app. And then where you put those actions and outcomes, you put them against your goals. So whatever your goal is, you know, you want to go on a holiday. Maybe you actually want to have a week or two off therapy, which is slightly controversial. You can put those against your goals. I mean, for my goals at the moment, a lot of them are around starting school next year for Monty. So he's starting kindergarten. So there's a lot of different things we need to do to get that ready. And then the last thing you'll see in the app is a place to put all of your team members. So those 20 people for me that we talked about, you can put them all into the app. It'll have their contact details. And from there, you'll be able to give them a common picture of what's really going on in your family's life. And the ultimate goal is they'll be able to get into the app themselves and talk to each other as well. Talk to each other about the goals that you're trying to achieve. And my goal, my wish is that from there, your support team members will start to take actions that are aligned with each other and actually work as a team.
Wow. That's exciting. It just sounds like an absolute hub of communication, if you like. How do you imagine that allied health professionals will engage and use SameView?
Yeah, great question. Look, in the early days, because it is a bit of a change and professionals have extremely busy lives. They see many, many families every day. I think stage one, what I'd like them to be able to use the app, how I'd like to see them use the app is to actually get a quick catch up of everything that's going on for a family. And they'll be able to see what a family wants to discuss maybe the day before the family comes, or maybe even the 5 minutes before, you know, they walk into the room. So you don't have to spend the next 20 minutes getting an update from mum or dad about, you know, everything that's going on. I think that's the first stage of how I'd like to see professionals use it. When they get more comfortable, I'd like them to be able to actually communicate within the app. But that's probably the second stage, I'd imagine.
Yeah. You quickly mentioned a minute ago about being able to upload photos and videos and probably checklists or handouts and things like that. So if the therapist had all of those things good to go, they could upload them, or else the parent could upload them?
Yeah, so the way we've designed it, we've had to think a lot about, of course, about security, about privacy, around what information is shared. So all of the control really sits with the family. So they're the ones that ultimately decide what goes up, you know, into their bit of the cloud and what people can see. So even at this stage, what therapists will be able to do is they'll be able to comment, but in terms of uploading information, it'll go via the families first, and they get full control over what gets uploaded, what gets shared.
Yep. Cool. We started to touch on this last week when we caught up about how this could maybe integrate, I'm doing air quotes, which aren't very useful for a podcast, but air quotes, with practice management software that clinicians use, because what we don't want is, I guess, a doubling up, and that you're tapping stuff into SameView and then you're kind of repeating yourself and tapping it into whatever software you use. But I guess that's just down the track. It sounds as though you're going to be pretty heavily invested in test and measure for the next, I don't know, 6 or 12 months.
Absolutely. Look, it's so important to us to not build anything that's duplicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, firstly, it's bad business, right? I mean, it'd be like if I built a calendar, you know, you already have Outlook and or Google Calendar or your iCal. It just doesn't make sense to duplicate anything. Plus, when you duplicate something, you're just making it harder for the user, whether it's a therapist or a family member. So we're in our design, we try and be very careful about what functionality we're building so that everything adds value rather than, you know, is taking something from someone else or creates a bit of a friction point.
Mm. So what are turning out to be the benefits for you guys as a family using it? What's it changed, or what have you tightened up?
It's really, the best way to describe it is all the little stressful parts of your day are taken away a little bit with the app. So I mentioned before around things like remembering what we want to talk about when we go into an appointment. My wife and I share all the appointments, and it really just depends on, you know, if an appointment's on a certain day and that's the day I'm free or she's free, then that person goes. There have been so many instances where we forget things. So that's to be able to go into an appointment, not having that stress of, I really need to talk about these things, and actually be in the moment to communicate with the mm-hmm. professional we're seeing has been quite helpful. And then the other side of it is coming out of the appointments, remembering what we need to do as a follow-up. I'm sure you see these with the other families as well, but what my wife and I find is that on the days where there is an appointment, as soon as the other person comes home from work and they walk through the door, the first thing you want to do is unload every piece of information onto that person and then end it with some sort of line like, and by the way, now we both remember, you know, I've told you now, kind of thing. So you've been informed. So it's nice to be able to just put that information somewhere and know that you're not going to lose it, and just let your mind relax, really.
Yeah.
So those have been the immediate benefits. And then on top of that, having them linked to the goals allows us to see all the different things we do each day. We're doing a little bit of exercise here or doing something here or going to an activity. We can see how everything ties in together. So we're not losing sight of, I guess, the bigger picture of where we're heading.
Nice. Did you guys write the goals together, or did you engage your wider team and have a more collaborative approach? What worked for you?
We probably tried a bit of everything, to be honest. I think in the early days we needed a lot of help in writing goals. I mean, that's, if they had your book, maybe we would, if we had your book, maybe we could have been able to do that a bit earlier. I think we talked about this as well. There's not really any sort of onboarding when, you know, this disability comes into your life. So, you know, writing good goals for our family, yeah, we've had to learn over time. We had a lot of help, I guess, from our support organisations, our key workers in the early days. I'd say now we're probably a bit more confident where when we do write goals, Jess and I will sit down and write them together first and set out the milestones and then consult with the rest of the team to get their feedback.
Okay, that makes sense. The whole goal writing thing, it's a bit weird. It's a bit weird. I remember speaking with the CEO of a disability support agency. I won't name them. And she said, oh, for goodness sake, you know, neurotypical families, they don't need to write goals. And I was taken aback at the time. And I've pondered it for years since that conversation. And, you know, she's sort of right. It's not a usual, typical family activity that you write goals. And, you know, when a little person with different abilities and needs comes into your life, all of a sudden you've got to do all of this stuff that's different to what you've done before or what other families do. And yeah, I have mixed thoughts about goals. I know that we need to have them, and it's very much a part of the NDIA, very much a part. Yeah. But oh, I don't know. I just do wonder if it sometimes blinkers us or hyper-focuses us or means that other really interesting opportunities aren't optimized. I don't know. I'll just have to.
I totally understand that point. No, I totally get that. And I guess the way we sort of see them is that, you know, the goals that we set aren't really that different to, if you'd ask me what would my goals be for my other children that don't have a disability. What I guess setting goals and is really just the planning process to say, you know, going to school for my older children is this process. For Monty, the goal's the same. I want him to go to school. So the outcome is no different. There are a series of things that I know I need to do to get to the same point. And I guess for us, it just helps to map that out into stages so that we're not worried about whether we're on the right track or we're doing the right things in the right sequence. So I think it's the planning process more than having, you know, the goal written so much. It's just that thinking process and the strategizing, I guess, might be a better word for it.
Yep. And then potentially having the steps in place that you can work through and having a system and having something to check back in on so that all is done in a reasonable sort of order and time frame as well, when you've got 20 people on your team to be coordinating. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
No, absolutely. And that's what I think gives you that, I guess, that confidence or just, you know, not having to be worried about it the whole time, being positive.
Yeah. So SameView is just coming out and it's available for early adopters, as I read. Who's picking it up and showing some interest in it?
I am so excited about this. So yes, our prototype comes out in the next couple of weeks, and we've had a great reception from families all around, not necessarily families caring for children, I guess it's people with disability of all ages. And the messages we get are generally the same. You know, I've been looking for something like this because they use words like juggling or stress or workload. So I think we've hit on a common theme there. Yeah, we've had lots of families. We have lots of families from all across Australia who have basically said, yeah, we want to have a go. And it's important to us to get families on board first. In sort of seeking that market feedback, we've been meeting with families, we've been meeting with therapists, professionals, support organisations, and the message is so clear from that families want this today and they're ready to use it today. So for us, we want to give them that first opportunity and use that momentum to that feedback to build something that's going to work best for them.
I've always thought of SameView as an app for families who have got younger children. I'm just sitting here staring at the ceiling thinking, well, of course, it could be applied to schools and specialist school settings and adult services and things as well, couldn't it? Couldn't it?
It absolutely can. It can be for... It's really anybody. And you know what? In designing it, I thought a lot about my grandmother at the time as well, who has dementia and her care needs. It's anybody that needs care. They will generally have a team of people. Those people need to talk to each other. I think it's as simple as that. When you do look at my website, though, of course, it's a lot about children because that's my story and that's the easiest story to tell.
And I get to see you. I get to see all your family and I get to see you eating toast. Yes. I love the photos. They're amazing. The photos are stunning.
Thank you.
Well, okay. So I'm going to have to rethink some of this as well and to think about it and jump back into it and have a look at it from an older child, a teen and an adult perspective. Would it ever get to the point that a person with disability could use it to manage their team and their services? I guess it could.
You know what? There's nothing to stop that from happening. What I would say is that I've come into this with my experience. With SameView, I need feedback from, I guess, people with disability who would have that requirement to tell me how they would use it. Making this successful to me is all about actually getting feedback from different families, from you know, people with disability too, and them guiding me on making this product right for them. So, yeah, of course they could use it. What I would seek first is their own lived experience, their feedback to say, well, you know, to manage my own care needs, this is how I go about it, or this is how I would do it. So.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. Absolutely amazing. So you just flat out busy. What's the next 6 months going to look like for SaneView? What will you be telling us maybe Easter next year or something?
Yeah. More good things, I hope. Yeah. So between now and Christmas, families can sign up to be a part of the trial, and I welcome any of your families or all providers as well who want to have a go at the app. That would be fantastic, and they can sign up via our website at www.saneview.com.au. That'll go till Christmas. I think by Christmas, our aim is to have a production version of the app out into the market, and that'll allow us to reach more families. And then, you know, from there, it's about growing that base of users and building that collaborative functionality into it as well, so that professionals can then start tapping in, start collaborating with each other. And what we're most excited about also is being able to tell, I guess, the stories from other families around, you know, what the issues around coordination, what being confident with coordination means to them. So that's what I hope I can tell you at Easter.
Oh, wow. And then what about the end of next year? What's it going to look like then? No pressure.
That seems like a very far, long time away. My dream with SaneView is to make it successful enough that it can sustain us, and this can be, I guess, our lives. I mean, my goals in life at the moment is, number one, to be a good dad, a good husband. I want to be a good advocate for families like ours. And, you know, also I really enjoyed having a social enterprise, being an entrepreneur. So I'd like that to be successful as well. Mm. So if all those things can work, then by next year I'll be very happy. What I'd love to do with SaneView, if it is successful and can sustain itself, is to then start looking at some of the other issues that we feel very strongly about, you know, when it comes to families like ours, I guess, issues like financial stress, flexible employment. You've had a good podcast about that, you know, being confident advocates as well as parents. I'd love to be able to contribute to some of those issue areas as well.
Sounds terrific. So not all of that might get done in the next 12 months, but certainly SaneView is going to be really hitting its teenage years, I guess, in the next 12 months and getting tested and used. I'm mindful that a lot of the people listening to this podcast are allied health professionals, and they're all probably all over the world. We know some of them, plenty of them are international listeners. What would you like allied health professionals to do and to think about and to act on, I guess, in terms of that first step towards finding out more about what you do?
I guess for families like ours, when you're from what I see with allied health professionals, I know coordination, talking to the other members of the team, is difficult because of the time pressures, of the costs, but I would encourage that as much as possible. And with SaneView, what I hope to do is to actually make that process as simple for you as possible. With SaneView itself, allied health professionals, if you see a value alignment with us, I would love you to reach out to us. And we can start having that same conversation and getting that feedback from you around, well, how can I make the product work for you as well?
That sounds great. So www.sameview.com.au. It's a lovely website. I'd forgotten how lovely it was. I was glad I was able to check back in on it. And you're busy Facebook as well?
Yes, so we're also on Facebook. We're starting to grow our online community, and you'll see links to that via our website.
Yeah, good. All righty. So you can have, actually, one thing you've probably heard, if I think you've listened to a couple of my podcasts, I give my guests the chance to ask me a question. So as I'm sort of almost holding my breath as I ask, Danny, is there anything that you'd like to ask me?
Yeah, look, you get to work with so many families, and I think the difference with you, Kathy, is you work with so many businesses as well. So I guess selfishly, what's your view on coordination and how, I guess, with, especially in Australia, with the market changing, with the NDIS rolling in, what are the sort of the issues around coordination that you can see at the moment and how it might be changing?
Yeah, it's changing, and the demands for mums and dads to be able to, I'll use the word organise, their team is increasing for many. And that was one of the reasons that I wrote my book, because there seemed to be this growing expectation that families could manage the goal setting and organize their team and be the glue, if you like, that held the whole team together. And I knew from working with some of the families that I did that how depleting that was and how completely overwhelming and exhausting and time consuming that was. And you mentioned that yourself when the first 20 minutes of the appointment is tell me what's been happening. And as a health professional, I always felt and wanted to know what had been happening so that we could start from that point and use our time, our appointment time, really, really well. And I think we were sort of saying the other day that the service provision for children, that's really all I can speak about, just feels so fragmented. It just, you've got a speech pathologist here and an OT there and a physio every 2 months somewhere else. And then you've got a good 8 or 10 medicos in the hospital. And it's really, I don't even have a descriptive word for it. It really makes me cross, I guess, or frustrated that it's only by good luck that all of those people communicate well. And whilst we all know it's best practice that they do, there are so many understandable reasons why it isn't good management that that team communicates quickly and easily. And you've hit on some of those benefits, I guess, of SmartView as an app, that it is quick and convenient and it's bite-sized and you're not sort of writing reports and emailing them off into the ether, that it is that quick, bite-sized, spontaneous communication that for many families and health professionals is a great place to start in getting everybody talking. So, yeah, I have worked with so many families where that coordination is just so hard, so hard, so hard.
I think to follow on from that, I mean, the ideal world for me, like for my own family, would be that I could reach out to exactly the right therapist or the right expert for my goal today, wherever that person might be. So I'm not limited to the people that I can drive to from where I live, and then be able to actually still keep all of those people wherever they are. Maybe they're in other parts of the world and we can sort of reach remotely, and to still be able to have those people work together, I guess, in a virtual sense, and, you know, and help me achieve the things that I want to achieve as a family. I mean, to me, that's the ultimate goal.
Having it there as a hub and everyone participates. I guess something else I could add to my answer and what you've just said is that I see the parents as the expert, yet a lot of us have been trained in a what we call the medical model, and we see ourselves as the expert and the people that tell families what to do. And I've been really uncomfortable with that for a long time. I really don't think that is equitable division of power, if you like, or energy, as I prefer to call it. And many mums and dads find it quite difficult to step forward and say no, or to say that's enough, or that's we're leaving now. And that is just so wrapped up in the training that health professionals have had and the medical and the firm beliefs they have, and this sort of mismatch and this inequity of coming to the table as equal partners.
That's so true. And you know what? It would have been one of the most useful things someone could have said to us up front. If in one of the early conversations they could say, you are the expert, you can bring something to the table when we have a discussion. Because I think by default, a lot of families coming into it would be like, well, you tell me, I don't know anything. And that's not a productive conversation to have. And yeah, if someone had said to me up front, by the way, you actually do get a say, you know your child, you know about your family, bring something to the conversation and you will get a better outcome.
Yeah. And that sort of makes sense with the way you've built the app to really support parents to make decisions and upload and delete and all the rest of it and have that final say in terms of how it works. And I guess further supporting that by putting it out to the parents and having an application and a product that is parent supported is going to be the way to go. And parents may be making choices around which service providers they use based on their level of participation and enthusiasm of being a team member, rather than just decisions around their clinical excellence, because there are big differences in that space and it can be quite overwhelming to make some of those choices. It's a bit like interviewing for a job. But I think with the support of this app and ongoing information and support from yourself and all your big ideas, you're really powering up parents to recruit and retain team members on a range of criteria, not just clinical know-how. Absolutely. I'm probably going to be registered after this conversation. I'll probably get a tap on the shoulder from one of the registration
authorities. We need you.
Well, I actually hope I do. It might give me the chance to, yeah, Okay. So I've even forgotten what your question was, Danny, but I'm sure I've answered it in an incredibly roundabout way. Yeah.
Yes.
So build it with parent power, I say.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, we in the software space, there are other people doing similar things, but most of them come at it from the, you know, the hospital management or the patient practice management side. They're all about, I guess, efficiency for the businesses themselves, which is good too. But, you know, trying to get those other providers are trying to get big contracts, you know, with one hospital or with one group of practices or something like that. And I think as good as those are, the needs of the consumer do come second at times.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. Alrighty, well, how about you have the very last say and give us an awesome little nutshell about all that SameView is and encourage the listeners to take some action and maybe jump on your website or follow you on Facebook. So I'll leave the talking stick with you.
Thank you. So firstly, thank you for having me on. SameView, we are all about giving families the confidence to manage their teams, coordinate their teams, set their own goals, set their own path, essentially giving them that confidence to thrive as a family. If families or providers are interested in joining our journey, I would encourage you to come to our website at www.sameview.com.au and also follow us on Facebook. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Pleasure. And let's make it a date for perhaps the middle of next year and you can give us an update about where it's all up to. And if we both get impatient, we can bring it forward to perhaps around that Easter mark so that we can have an update in terms of how it's tracking. Is that all right? Is that a deal?
I would love to.
All righty.
That is a deal.
Thank you so much for joining us. All the best for the next few months and we'll look forward to an update next year.
Thank you so much for having me on.
See ya. Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.